And when we go and encounter opposition, we counter the forces of evil, we say, Jesus said, and he gave us his authority. Now, remember what I told you a couple weeks ago. We don't go hunting things. We don't go looking. We're not Ghostbusters. But when we encounter it, God will give us victory. It's his intentions. He always makes us victorious in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we don't fight in our own power. We don't fight in our own strength, Jesus said. And in that authority, we have victory.
I think everybody's familiar with the scripture, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We also look and see that the apostle Daniel had an excellent spirit. And it was noticed in him that he had an excellent spirit by everybody that was surrounding him. We look further and see that King Saul, as he became jealous against David and brought David into his household after David had killed Goliath, that he was tormented by an evil spirit. And that God had let that spirit come and torment Saul. I think about the spirit of pride, the spirit of jealousy. We talk about the spirit of fear, that we haven't received the spirit of fear. I used to think, when I was just a very young child, that the church building was the scariest place in the world to be at night by myself. And my brother Paul and I and Steve, we talked about this. We had a theory that sometimes people came to the church, and when they got right, they left their evil or bad spirit here. And you go into the church at night, and you hear all this creaking or groaning and stuff. And I remember, you know, I was the youngest brother, so I was just scared to death. And, you know, I had seen plenty of bad spirits in people. You know, sometimes bad spirit shows up all over your face, or it's in your countenance, or, you know, sometimes they're just quenching the Spirit of God when somebody resists or it does something that is taking preeminence or putting the spotlight on themselves. And that'll quench the Spirit of God. It'll bring the temperature down in a hurry. And then there's sometimes just outright having a bad spirit, a spirit of rebellion or a spirit of opposition. I remember one time I was teaching the adult Sunday school class, and my dad had been in Africa for several weeks, and I was teaching that class. I'd had good classes all along. And we were getting into October, and I taught a class about partaking in all the traditions of Halloween, and how that unwittingly we can be worshiping the wrong things. And while I was teaching that class, I had such a strong spirit of opposition. And it was several people that I could see they weren't receiving my message. One time here in this church, I preached and a group of people were turned off, and they turned out the light bulb, folded their arms, a whole row of people. I preached to the people in front of them, and I preached to the people behind them, and I avoided their bad spirit. I didn't let it affect the rest of the service, even though I had to fight against it. Now, I trust and hope that you have met someone, and after you met them, you just said, man, they have an excellent spirit. Now, in Romans chapter 8, our spirit and the Holy Spirit have harmony, fellowship, or communion. And the Holy Spirit of God the spirit of adoption that cries within us, Abba, Father. He confirms to us that we are the children of God. We're talking about some of the other spirits that there are. Certainly, our focus is on God's Spirit. I want to tell you this, and I hear it way more than I ever used to. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Or, oh yeah, I'm open to everything. Oh God, help us. Because everything is everything, and there's a lot of stuff in the world. In Romans 12, let me just read for us 6, 7, and 8. It says, "And having gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, let him that giveth do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." We also have a list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read a little bit of that later. But first of all, I want to just go down. And last week we looked at the first, and today we're going to look at discerning of spirits. And I want to share with you maybe an example from my life. Now, my mother is an extremely open, trusting person. She definitely has a childlike faith and a simplicity in trusting God, and it is a blessing in her life. On the other side of that, she does not always discern the good and evil that's in her presence. Now, my dad, on the other hand, was like the watchdog. He would recognize, he could see way deeper than most folks. And I believe God provides balance for our protection. Now, in the midst of their ministry, in one circumstance, my dad was trying to give a person counsel from the Word of God, and they were coming and seeing him. And my mom said, "Watch that person." It was a woman. He said, "I don't trust their intentions." And my dad took some steps based on my mom's advice and protected himself. And it was borne out that her intentions were not honorable. So God provides balance. I look around and go, "Well, you know, I've got this, and I'm proficient, and I am capable, and I have matured, and I. We all must have one another's backs, because we all have blind spots. I was driving, and I went to change lanes, and my wife said, "There's a car there." And I looked in the mirror. I looked over my shoulder. I didn't see it. I waited about 2 seconds, and it came into my view through the pillar of the window in the back. And if she hadn't said something, I would have hit the car. I was getting ready to merge right over. Bam! I would have right into the quarter panel of that car, and I could not see it. We have several examples of people that could not see the spirit world. Now, I dare say there's no one here that can see the principalities and powers that surround us. And you can be thankful you don't. But because we can't see it doesn't mean we cannot discern it. Dr. Wright shared this story with Pastor Jerry and I. He said that he went into a store in a mall and he was interested in some little pewter figures they had that were Civil War figures. Now, he was interested in the Civil War and in that history, so he went in the store to see those things, and he said he got in the store and he had an impression of evil in the store. Now, it turns out that he was in a Dungeons & Dragons store, and all the other figures were for this satanic game of Dungeons & Dragons. So he had the right sense of evil because he was in the wrong place. He said, the only other time that I had that sense of that much evil in one place was in a youth group, and the pastor preached, and the pastor's son came forward, and we dealt with him for a half an hour. And there was a sense of evil in the room. The battle between the Lord and the battle between the oppression and the dominance that this spirit had in the life of this young man. And they were able to lead him to Christ. I said, just brushed it out of the room. Jesus Christ has entire and complete authority. Now, look with me at a couple of Old Testament scriptures here on this subject. In Leviticus 19:31, it says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy 18:10-11, and there shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. You guys know what happened to King Saul. Rachel and I were talking about this for a minute this week. King Saul drove all of the high places out. He drove all those that were oracles or had familiar spirits out of the country. And then Samuel died. And he was in the place of a great battle the next day. And he sought out the witch. He sought out the witch, and he disguised himself, and he went and saw her in his disguise. And in his disguise, he asked her to pull up a spirit that had been dead for him. I want to make contact with this person who has been dead, and this witch is posing as a medium. And she was doing what they do. I go, oh, I'm making contact with your relative right now. He's speaking to me, and he says he's happy, and he's safe, and he's in a good place, and he just wants you to live a good life and do well by others. And they just make up some gobbledygook. A big mess of warm pudding, and they feed you that warm pudding, and then you go home after you paid your bill, and they're all happy, and you're happy. This woman started doing her mumbo jumbo, and guess what happened? Samuel popped up. And it scared her more than it scared Saul. Because she's getting ready to do her little fake mirrors and smoke thing, and here comes the prophet of God, Samuel. Boom! And she's like, oh, this is Samuel, and you're King Saul, and you tricked me! And she's scared to death. And Saul says, continue, I'm not going to come after you or prosecute you or anything. I just really need to talk to Samuel right now. And he's not available to me. Samuel came up and said, tomorrow you're going to be with me. See, even the practitioners of this and the people that follow it and pursue it, many of them have not had genuine experiences. They're faking it. This is intriguing. It appeals to our sense of curiosity. You know what? My birthday's here, and I'm just going to open the newspaper, and I'm going to find my horoscope, and now I know my sign, and I'm going to go ahead and just read it. It's astrology and worship of the stars. And that's going to make a sense in your life, and it's a replacement of God. I'm just going to go in and have my hand read, and they're going to look at the lines of my hand and tell me some things about my life. And it's on the radio. It's on TV. There's commercials. Our mediums are as good as any. This activity makes the devil happy, and it's an abomination to God. And if you are involved in this kind of activity, it is an abomination to God. In the land of Israel, they pushed them all out. Here we come into Matthew chapter 8 and 16. And evening was come, and they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. In Matthew 10 and verse 1, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. In every circumstance in Scripture, any time that Jesus met up with an unclean spirit, he met up with a devil, they said, "We know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. Are you here to torment us before our time?" Because in Jude it tells us that they are reserved for judgment. Jesus met up with a maniac of Gadarenes. He came off the ship, and here's this guy, and he breaks chains and fetters, and he cuts himself, and he won't wear any clothes, and he lives in the graveyard. "Oh, he sounds intriguing. I wonder if I can get his phone number for you." And the devils and the spirits inside him, they start to cry to Jesus. Say, "Are you here to torment us before our time? And will you let us go into those pigs?" 2,000 pigs feeding on a hillside. And Jesus lets them go into the pigs. And they go into the pigs, and the pigs run down the hill, violently drown themselves in the sea. And the people that own the pigs and the pig herders, they all run back to town. They go, "And Jesus let the devils go into the pigs, and the pigs ran down and killed themselves, and now we're out 2,000 pigs. And authorities, they come and say, "Jesus, you're going to have to move on. We have never had anything like this happen here. You're going to have to move on." They didn't say, "Thank you, and you cast out the devils, and here's this fellow that had all these devils in him, and now he's sitting clothed and in his right mind." Jesus always had authority over these devils, and he always will. And they recognize him. And they recognize his position over them. And immediately with a word, it was a couple of, maybe a year ago, I had Jake and Zane up here, and I was going to wrestle with both of them. And I thought I could still handle them, but they handled me. You remember that, Zane? Eh? That was a good day for you, wasn't it? Did you go home and write it down? I couldn't focus on the both of you, though. You guys took me down. But Zane and I haven't wrestled particularly individually. Get up here. Get up here. We should probably take the mic off, right? You and I have not wrestled, just you and I, right?
Right.
Do you want to?
Sure.
Zane is getting stronger, older, and more stubborn all the time. Right, Zane?
Right.
He doesn't mind pain as bad anymore as he used to. Right, Zane?
Right.
These are all things in his advantage. And I'm getting fatter and slower and older all the time. I would, that might carry me through. Is that I'm more stubborn than you?
It's true.
It might. See, it used to be a time when I could look at Zane and just go, eh, and give him the word, and he was like, phew. Now he's like a little bit more, you know, sometimes I've got to give him a little force. Right, Zane?
Right.
Not too much, though, yeah? No, let's always keep it that way. Jesus just gave the word. Now, in Zane's mind, he's thinking right now, I could take you on and eat you for breakfast. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, you better watch out, buddy. I'm going to eat you for lunch. We'd have to put it to a test to see, right, Zane?
Yeah.
None of these devils looked at Jesus for 1 second and said, let's give it a shot. Let's give it a try. He said the word, and they were scared to death that he was going to say, I'm casting you into the pit. Like, we would love to go into those hogs over there because Jesus has authority. Remember, we looked at Jude and we talked about the word of God, the person of Christ and the blood of the Lamb overcome all the forces of evil. Here we are, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We don't necessarily in ourselves have that power and have that authority. We must go in the name of Jesus Christ. See, the devil and his helpers and his devils, they have taken on someone who is better than you, who's smarter than you, who's more powerful, who's more spiritual, who's closer to God. And they have defeated him because they separated them from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not separate them as in losing their salvation. They separate them as they got them out of fellowship. They got them in sin. And they were vulnerable. And they were defeated. Defeated in sin. It's interesting. Because the devil is always after you. I mean all of you. Now, he doesn't always make a personal appearance. He's not omnipresent. He saves his presence for special circumstances. Most of the time, he does not have to come on appearance to defeat us. We most of the time defeat ourselves with our flesh. But we also have the world against us. And ultimately, we have these principalities and powers. You know, they would say it's better to put out a small fire than put out a big fire. It's better to stop a stitch in time, save nine. It's better to stop a sin. It's better to stop a bad spirit. It's better to stop a spirit of rebellion. When it is small and it has not taken root. See, A fool is, you could take a mortar and a pestle and you could grind him up, but you will not separate him from his arrogance and his pride and his stubbornness. We must realize before God how weak this flesh really is. I mentioned palm reading. I mentioned the mediums, the horoscope. I say, do not take and mess around with a Ouija board. See, what happens is you will open a door and something will come through that door to your side that you did not want. Another thing is pharmaceuticals. When we look at the wizard and the sorcerer in the Bible, it's a dealer of pharmaceuticals. We think about street drugs, but it's also some of the things that are written and prescribed by a doctor's signature. And they open doors. Spirits. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot be possessed. But you can be oppressed. See, the Spirit of God living inside a person is enough to repel the evil spirits and the devil, but you still can be surrounded and oppressed. You can be hassled. You can be depressed. I went on a trip with a pastor. He told me about a time he injured his shoulder. He started taking pain medication for it. And he needed the pain medication because of the pain, but the pain medication in his personal life opened a door. Now, he didn't start talking like he was possessed or anything, but he started having a spirit of anger. And he had a spirit of disagreement. And his wife and his son and his daughter, they all came to him. They talked to him about what he was doing and what was going on. It was destroying a church and it was destroying their family. And he saw what was going on in his life and he stopped cold turkey. All the things he was taking, he stopped and he bore the pain and he dealt with things spiritually. And he said to me, as someone who has been there and faced that trouble. When somebody is taking a whole bunch of pharmaceuticals and they're taking a whole bunch of drugs, there's a door that's open there in their life. In Ephesians, it tells us not to give place to the devil. How many of you, if you saw a demon or a devil and all this hideousness and they were hitchhiking? Oh, they probably need a ride. I got plenty of room in the back seat. I guess we'll stop and give them a ride. It'll be okay for a while. Get in your car and they won't leave. And you can't, you're not strong with them. You can't force them out. You know, oh, Pastor, that would be just very, very dumb. We wouldn't do that. We'd never do that. But you give a place to the devil with certain language that you'll allow in your life, with certain music that you'll allow in your life, with certain dress. You give a place to the devil when you're in rebellion. It's as a sin of witchcraft. When you know to do right and you don't do it, it's sin. And it opens a door, and you placed a seat for the devil. And you might sit and say, I wish the devil wasn't in that seat, but you gave it to him. Don't you give place to the devil? He doesn't budge very easy. The precepts of Scripture, the person of Christ, and the power of the blood overcome these things.
putting on the armor of God. Piece by piece by piece. We have a defeated foe, and we have victory, but he will not stop fighting. He'll fight for your soul, then he'll fight for your testimony, he'll fight for your Christian walk, he'll fight for your effectiveness, he'll seek to smear and to ruin you. He is a liar and he hates you. And if you used to be his child, now you're God's child. Nothing would please him more than to destroy you. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, it says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. It's one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives into the life of a believer. Now, no one has all these gifts. But God provides a balance. No one should act like an oracle, or no one should act like a witch or a necromancer, but there are people that have, by God, a gift for saying, this is not right. Something evil about this. This does not pass the smell test. We need to get away from this. In 1 John 4, 1 through 3, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. We have two of our 12 apostles. And the Bible clearly shows us that they had the gift of discerning spirits. And Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of land. And they got together and they had a little whispery session. They said, let's say we sold the land for this, when we really sold for this, and we'll just keep the rest. Now, if they just come in and said, we sold some land and we're giving some of the money to the church, but somebody else has already sold a piece of land and they gave all the money to the church and everyone's so blown away. And we want to be like them. So we're going to go in, we're going to say, we sold the land for this. And we're giving it all to the church, even though we're saving enough to go on a Caribbean vacation. Ananias comes in, and he has the gift, and he brings it up to the Peter. If Peter was in the front, if Peter was in the back, he brought it to Peter. And he said, here it is, we sold the land for this much, here's the gift. And Peter says, you have lied to the Holy Ghost. Ananias kills over. They wrap him up in a blanket or a cloth, and they carry him out, and some guys get shovels, and they bury him during the church service. Dig, 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 dig. Takes a little while to dig a grave. The last grave I was in contact with was filling in my dad's grave, and we sang, and several guys worked with shovels, and I got to share that fellowship of sorrow with my sons, and we filled it all the way in. It took a while. So 3 hours later, here comes Sapphira to church. It shows that women take 3 hours longer to get ready for church than men. Not all women. She comes into church, and Peter's like, and she comes up and says, well, how much did you guys sell the land for? I said, well, this much?
what's the number he has now? He sends the fire. And what did we say? We sold the land. Yes, oh yes, it's this much. Yes, can't believe that you guys conspired together to lie to the Holy Spirit of God. The same guys that carried your husband out and buried him, now they've got to do it again. And she falls over dead. They wrap her up and they carry her out and they do grave number two. That's a pretty long church service, isn't it? The Apostle Paul went to a specific town and he was preaching. And there was a woman there, and she was somebody's slave. In Acts 16:16, it came to pass, as we went in prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much by gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us. And cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not said to her, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that their hope of gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, "I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now look at all the different gifts of the Spirit of God, but this is the most amazing and most important to us. The Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road says, so he saw a bright light. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" The Holy Spirit gave him the answer, confirmed the word, and the Apostle Paul recognized Jesus Christ as Lord. He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He said, "What will thou have me to do?" He said, "Go into Damascus and go to Straight Street and find Ananias." At that point and at that moment, the Apostle Paul, understanding that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and the Lord, could open the Old Testament Torah and go into a synagogue and prove to the Jewish rulers, to the leaders, to the chief priests, that Christ was the very Jesus, the Messiah. You know why? Because it's all there. We should always trust God. We should also lean on the Lord. But in those areas, those Christians who have a gift or an understanding and they discern spirits, they can discern the Spirit of God, they can discern the spirit of human, and they can discern the spirit of evil or wickedness. It's a gift. And it's not that they're operating on their own strength or their own power. It is a gift of the Spirit of God. And it's a gift not for yourself or not for your benefit. It is a gift for the perfecting of the body of Christ, for the edification of the saints. It's a shield that you can put up in prayer for someone else. Who's ever been attacked by a bad spirit? In their mind. All of a sudden you're there and you're not even thinking anything. And all of a sudden all these thoughts of jealousy, of pride, of anger, of gossip are running through your mind? All kinds of sin. And we can help one another out. We can protect each other. We can take the shield of faith. We can take the armor and the battle of God's word. We can take prayer. We don't have physical or spiritual strength over these principalities and powers. We have a submission to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We have submission to God that he's lurking as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he devours us when we're not in submission. He devours us when we are not humble. He devours us when we're not obedient. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21 through 24, says, prove all things. Back in 1 John 4, 1, it says, try the spirits, don't believe every spirit. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Jesus called the disciples, first the 12, then the 70, and he gave them authority. Come here, Sarah. Come here. If I can send Sarah on a mission, say if anybody bothers you or deters you, just say, Pastor said. Sound good?
Yeah.
Say it. Pastor said.
Pastor said.
Now, you go into my office, and someone goes, what are you doing in the pastor's office? What pastor said for me to get this? And we go, oh, good, that's fine. You go back in the refrigerator, and you get into popsicles, and we go, oh, what are you doing getting into popsicles? Pastor said I could have one, as long as I brought him two. Yeah. In this situation, I'm taking whatever authority I have, and I'm giving it to Sarah for a mission. Think you'd be successful in fulfilling your mission? If you countered any resistance, you think Pastor said would work for you?
Yeah.
We got something far greater than that. We have Jesus said. And when we go and encounter opposition, we counter the forces of evil, we say, Jesus said, and he gave us his authority. Now, remember what I told you a couple weeks ago. We don't go hunting things. We don't go looking. We're not Ghostbusters. But when we encounter it, God will give us victory. It's his intentions. He always makes us victorious in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we don't fight in our own power. We don't fight in our own strength. Jesus said. And in that authority, we have victory.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.